Hello, fellow league mates. This is your commish Skip, and welcome to this special post-draft edition of the Extraordinarily Fresh podcast. And I'm here with three of your esteemed league mates. I have Brad, Simon, and Ronnie.
I mean, I guess I'll start up. Brandon, I'm coming for you. You know what I mean? You stole my Eckler. I mean, look, everything except for Eckler. I feel like if I got him, it's the perfect draft. But I like the depth that I got this year. You know what I'm saying? I think I got a full squad. And even if people get injured, I got a full squad. So I'm confident going into the year.
If we're talking about the veteran, the veteran draft first, I'm pretty happy with my starters. I'm a little worried about my running back depth. I'm relying on some higher upside guys that necessarily haven't done it yet, like Westbrook and Lockett as being number one receivers possibly for the first time. So I got some risk and reward there. I don't have the stud per se, quote unquote, guys take over that I can count on for sure. But I mean, they could. They're going to have the opportunity to. So we'll see if that happens. But overall, I'm pretty happy with how the veteran draft worked out for me.
Yes, for me, my team, you know, it's pretty solid. You know, I'm top heavy, obviously, with the keepers that I had, with the receivers and running backs. And I felt like through the draft, I was able to fill in some of the holes I was missing with wide receiver three, with Ashon Jeffrey. Got Carson Wentz as my QB. Picked up Garoppolo. Didn't really want him. I kind of just ended up with him. But my weakest spot is tight end, and that was a major regret that I had there. As far as when me and Chad, of course, started going back and forth on OJ Howard, that he wouldn't stop. that was the one thing in the draft. I think I'm okay. Like looking at the bench, I lack a lot of depth. But I do have a lot of good pieces down there. I did pick up my handcuffs on my running backs that, you know, might have question marks and injury history and so forth. So I should be in a decent position. But overall, man, I thought it was a solid draft. But you know, I missed out on some things that I really wanted to go for.
Yeah. For me, I'll say that this is year two of the trying to rebuild from the Eric fiasco. So, you know, this is the last part of it with Christian McCaffrey at that very high price. And, you know, I think I'm in a good position going into the future, but of course this year is going to be very rough. And definitely going to try to put some pieces into motion to be competitive in the next few years and possibly this year, but I don't really know at this point.
Yeah, you definitely have some rebuilding to do with that, with some of those prices that you were stuck with.
Right, absolutely. But I think I did a pretty good job identifying some talent, and then especially in the rookie draft. Yeah, definitely getting Kerryon Johnson and Devin Singletary was a really good one. So definitely
That's what I want to say about the rookie draft real quick. Were you surprised at the lower prices? It seemed like, I guess, maybe because there was no clear cut, like Elliott or Barkley or something. Are you guys surprised, like, nobody went for – what was the highest price? 20 or right around 20 or so? Or
Just about 20. Yeah, I think.
Got Josh Jacobs, right? 20?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
And then Kyler Murray was almost 20.
Yeah, right. 17 for Kyler, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not surprised by it. And, you know, I think I've had this conversation with many of you all. It's really because of two things. There's no clear-cut number one, obviously, but then the depth in this class in terms of the talent and the potential, there was really no reason to pay up for any of the players. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think there's a balance there. I think that, you know, if you're looking at somebody like David Montgomery, I feel like that's a really good price. You know, being 13, and let's say, let's say that he takes over that role. But I think people are a little scared off because, especially with them percentage increases each year, you know, you're looking at really derailing your team in the third year if you get a bust. So,
you also run into the issue of people being jaded by some of the things they might have done in the past.
Yeah.
My brother specifically, he he went in for Royce Freeman last year at $20, and then Lindsey comes out of nowhere. So then going into this year, he was like, I do not want another, you know, Royce Freeman situation. So he wasn't trying to spend it all.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Ronald Jones too, right?
Yeah.
Ronald Jones came out for close to 20, and then nobody would have expected that he would have done that. So.
Right.
Yeah. I guess my thought is I think it's a mix. I think people have learned from some of the past mistakes, possibly. I know, like, cause I'm not super happy that I'm paying Fournette $50, you know, of my budget this year, you know. So I think some people, with there not being a clear-cut number one, like a Barkley or a Elliott or even a Fournette type player who really would warrant big money, and then I think, there may have been some lessons learned in the past of overpaying for guys because of that percentage increase every year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that Shane in particular, I have been joking with him about his past mistakes with Ronald Jones, and then there were some others in the past as well. But he really went all in on Kyler Murray at 17. And, you know, it turns out that was the highest bid. Which is surprising, but given the change in the league structure, it's not very surprising. What do you guys think of that? And do you think that some of the other quarterbacks should have actually gone in the draft?
I think with the changes of Superflex, it's nice to have a rookie quarterback because you can keep them on your team for longer. And they don't occupy one of your keeper slots. So I was a little surprised when Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins didn't get taken. But I had budgeted 20 for Kyler Murray, and when I saw Shane jump all the way up there, I was like, you can have him for this year. You know what I mean? But I think in general with the Superflex, if you can get a guy and keep him on your squad for 3 years, and then just fill one of your keeper slots with a draftable running back or whatever or quarterback, then I think it's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, I think he's pretty well set up. I think he got kind of a steal. Well, possibly got a steal. Depends on how Kyler Murray turns out. But he's got Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. He could be set up for a while in his quarterbacks. As you know, and he's only got to keep Lamar Jackson as a keeper for the next 2 years, and he could have them both. At the price that he got Kyler Murray at, which could end up being a bargain, especially with how we saw some increased prices in the veteran draft because of the super flex now.
Yeah, I think like Simon said, or somebody said at the end of the rookie draft, I think it's I'm surprised that other quarterbacks didn't go, because as you say, using a rookie draft pick on a quarterback, you get to keep them basically for 3 years. If they actually pan out, you get to keep them and not have to use up a spot to keep a quarterback from your other three keepers. And so that allows you to sort of be able to keep running backs and receivers in those three slots. And then you got a starting quarterback kind of locked in for the next 3 years. So it was a decent strategy, but I just don't know, you know, really what's going to happen with Kyler Murray or some of those guys. Daniel Jones has looked good in the preseason. Like, I'm really surprised he didn't get drafted in the rookie draft. But, you know, I think Skip, you picked him up in the free agents, right?
No, it wasn't me. I bid on him, but I didn't end up getting him.
Yeah, I'm not sure who.
I forget who
was that grab Daniel Jones. Oh yeah, you got Haskins.
Yeah, that was my second choice to get Haskins.
Let's see, it was Brandon Flaherty who got Daniel Jones, it looked like.
Okay, it's not a bad pickup. I know I also bid on him in the rookie draft. So had I not gotten Singletary, I actually would have gotten Daniel Jones.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, you know, things happen, right? And I'm glad I got Singletary rather than Jones. I had to
have him. Yeah, it looks pretty good right now.
Yeah. All right, so going into the veteran draft then, we've got these depressed prices for the rookies. And so, you know, you would think automatically that meant increased prices for the veterans. And a peculiar thing happened that I think Chad initially pointed out, that, you know, we were keeping a lot more receivers, but also we were keeping a lot more quarterbacks, and the running backs just kind of seemed to be all rookie picks. So what do you think that meant for when we approach the veteran draft? How do you think that affect pricing? How do you think that affect the bids? Things like that.
Well, I think it definitely inflated the quarterback prices, the ones that were left. I got to keep Aaron Rodgers for 18 as a keeper, and I know for sure that he'd have been well more than 18 because if I remember right, some of the prices went up to in the 30s or close to 40 even for some, which, you know, that Superflex puts more of a premium on quarterbacks. But I know that definitely skewed quarter. I think people spent more money on quarterbacks this year. If my memory is correct, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but people spent more money on quarterbacks this year than any year in the past.
Oh yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, Jared Goff, AJ ended up spending $29 on him, and Ronnie, I think he spent $30 on Carson Wentz. So
yep.
Yeah. It was definitely the quarterback prices definitely went up, and you know, I thought also one thing that we saw was that the wide receiver prices were also a little skewed.
Yeah. I think with the quarterback prices going higher, I think that kind of offset the rookie, the less rookie spending a little bit. And then, yeah, I think the wide receivers were definitely, I was surprised the way some of those guys were getting bid up quite a bit for, I don't know if it's almost like you think you're going to pay a lot cheaper. I know. I thought some of the guys were going to go for a lot cheaper and ended up going for more of, you know, number one receiver prices, at least from the past, as compared to this year.
Right. And I think what that did, and, you know, you all can correct me if you don't think so, but I think that really suppressed the running back prices overall. I was really surprised to see that I think the most expensive running back, I think it was $40 for Ty Gurley. And everyone else kind of fell into that $30 to $40 range.
I was about to say, Joe Mixon went somewhere in that, range.
Yeah, Joe Mixon as well, yeah. So
went for like 43, I believe.
Right, yeah, 46. Yeah, so ended up
the
Chad for 46. Yeah, so 46 for Joe Mixon and 40 for Todd Gurley. And then you had, I think it was 36 for $38 for Devontae Freeman. And then you had 35, I believe it was, for Damian Williams. Yeah, so, I mean, realistically, those guys would have been going for well over $40. But now with this increased prices on quarterbacks and on wide receivers, it really just suppressed those running back prices.
And also due to the fact that, as you said, most people have, like, rookie running backs that they're still keeping or they already had, you know, somebody on the team, so they decided not to spend. They kept more wide receivers, kept more quarterbacks. So the other quarterbacks that would need, like me in general, I had Dalvin Cook and Le'Veon Bell that I kept. I had DeAndre Hopkins and Tyreek Hill that I kept. So running backs weren't like of my number one draft priority. So I wasn't going to go in there and spend, but I was looking to spend on quarterbacks because I didn't have any. So having to go about it that way, I knew that I was going to end up having to spend something for a quarterback, and I had originally budgeted $25 for Carson Wentz. Ended up getting pushed up to 30, but it kind of – that's just the way it works. But, yeah, so you usually get that when you when we have – the way this rookie situation is set up and having so many rookie running backs and top-level rookie running backs being kept through that rookie draft.
Yeah, definitely. It has changed the fabric of the veteran draft. So the other thing that really was interesting was the tight ends and the strategies that people have been using now with tight ends. It seems that, you know, using a tight end as one of those flexes is a preferable strategy if you can't get the wide receiver and running back up. What have you guys seen with that?
I mean, I think pure point production, you're looking at a dude like Travis Kelce. Like, I feel like Kenny Galladay was the best wide receiver coming into the veteran draft. I feel like Travis is a little bit better than him in terms of what you get week to week.
Yeah.
And it looks like he went for 43, but then another dude, Ertz, went for 30. That's about the same amount. Like, I would take that price for sure.
Yeah, OJ Howell went for 30 as well.
You're right.
Yeah, people were paying up for OJ. I think he'll have a big year.
Well, Kittle went for 36 as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think people were treating them like, you know, wide receiver two types, I guess.
That was part of my strategy going in. I had Carson Wentz and OJ Howard as my top two targets that I was trying to go get. but I wasn't trying to pay $30. I didn't think I was going to have to pay $30 for O.J. Howard to get him.
I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Yeah, and so once I went in it, I had reserved 20. I think it was like 20, 25 for O.J. and about 25 for Carson Wentz. And then once me and Chad were going back and forth, and I'm like, okay, it got to 25, and he went to 26. I said, all right, I'm gonna just go ahead to 27, and then he hit it again at 28. I said, oh my gosh, this dude, what is he doing right now? He's not gonna stop. So I keep it again one more time. I'm like 29. That's it. Let's see. And then he went to 30. I said, oh yeah, man, you can have him. So yeah, he kind of stole OJ Howard from me just by going. He said if I would have went one more dollar, I would have had him. But I was not planning on paying $31 for OJ Howard.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, you saved some money there to be able to get. I think you got Curtis Samuel, which I think is a pretty good wide receiver pick.
Yeah.
And you were able to spend, you know, only $17 to get him.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then I guess that allows you to get Garoppolo as your second quarterback as well. There is that.
Yeah, it's shocking that you and Chad would go back and forth on somebody.
yeah, very shocking. Yes,
I was really surprised.
Yeah, never would have thought that.
No, never.
Yo, but the smack talk went down a notch this year, though. I was like, "What's good? Are y'all saving it for the midseason or what?"
I think people were paying attention to the draft. We required that this year.
Yeah, true.
There were
this draft gives me the most anxiety out of any draft I ever do. So I don't have time to be talking trash while we're going.
I know, right?
So I mean, I guess I'll get you all's opinions on this, like the depth of the draft itself. What we saw was that a lot of people ran out of money early, and so that gave other people the chance to pounce on some lower prices, presumably. But it turns out that didn't actually happen. Do you think that the depth of the league is appropriate? You think we should adjust? What are your thoughts there?
In terms of total teams, you mean 12 instead of 14?
Well, no, in terms of roster depth, I think we're right at the number of teams, but the number of roster slots.
Yeah, I like 12. I like having the deep rosters, man. I think it makes the strategy of drafts even more interesting because you either have to kind of go top heavy or you're just going to be stuck with dollar players at the end. And with having the roster size that we have, which is a little deeper, I think, than most leagues, I could be wrong, but I'm not in any other leagues right now, so I don't know for sure. But I think that makes strategy of keeping your money because, you know, if other people have more money and you throw out a dollar player and you need like you have $3 left with three spots open and you think you can get a guy for a dollar, then somebody else just has to throw two on there and they got him from you. But I think it makes that end of the draft a little more interesting when money starts getting low and, you know, some people see some value in certain players that are still left.
Yeah, I think too, there's a lot of teams that were willing to, you know, spend big in the draft and then treat the waiver wire like the second half of the draft. Cause I noticed going through the rosters that there were a lot of teams that didn't even have their rosters filled up. But then I looked at the waivers and there's still a lot of good players out there. So I think it makes it a viable strategy right now to, you know, spend that extra $10 on mixing and then get a bunch of, you know, dollar waiver wire pickups the next day.
Yeah, I definitely see that as a really good strategy. I mean, and it's been consistent now since we've had the rookie draft that those rookies that didn't get drafted will go for a lot. And I know you all saw on GroupMe, I kind of did just a really brief analysis on it. And it turns out that, you know, it makes sense to spend that big early on the waiver wire. So I guess since we're going to the waiver wire now, what were your impressions of those early pickups? Of course, it was consistent with previous years. We've had the large dollar amounts spent. And I know, Brad, I think you spent the most out of everyone on a certain player.
I did. I'm a little surprised even going the rookie draft, being a wide receiver with Kansas City's offense and their potential, especially, you know, if Tyreek Hill gets hurt or something with him.
I told you about saying that.
Talking about what? Oh, yeah. I'll refrain from saying too much about. I'll keep his name out of my mouth for you. But I guess my strategy was with that was that he's a lottery ticket in a way. I don't really need him. I like my wide receivers that I have. I won't be playing him week one. I knew that when I bid on him. I just felt that, you know, thinking of years past, of what guys have gone for, and that I know I spent more on people in the past, including Tajay Sharp, who was a complete bust. But my strategy was I started it at 50 during the day, during that day before, you know, because the waivers ran that night. I thought about it. I bumped it up to 60. I bumped it up to 75, and then I hit 77 because I thought maybe that'd be somebody who put 75 or whatever. So my thinking was I had a guy. I thought he could be a possible lottery ticket type play down the line. I didn't really need him, so it was kind of somebody, a little icing on the cake, maybe, if I could get him. Maybe somebody I could keep in the future, too. All that stuff kind of went through my head. I thought he was worth 77, so that's what I bid. And, you know, I didn't get a chance to look at all the bids for him. I heard that the second highest bid wasn't really that close to 77, so I could have saved some money. But then you see somebody like Hockerson, you know, Chad bid 60 something on him. So I don't think 77 is crazy, at least not for me, because I think AJ made a comment that you know, you might, what if somebody gets hurt down the line, you need to get somebody off waivers, or, you know, well, my thought on that is one of two things. One is, if a key guy like that gets hurt for me, I'm probably going to be screwed regardless of who's on the waiver wire, because you all, this league with our deep rosters, how we talked about earlier, and you guys are all up on it. Like, there's nobody usually slips by. Everybody's got backups, backup to the handcuff, to the backups, coaches backup, you know, and all this stuff.
Right.
It makes it tough, man. You know, so it's not like there's going to be some, it's hard to find a real diamond in the rough. So yeah, that's tough. And two is, I felt if Tyreek Hill, sorry, man, I forgot, I said his name again. My bad, man. My bad. If somebody,
hey, look, keep saying it, man. Keep saying it, man.
Man, I wish I had that kind of power. It'd be great. But no, if something did happen that he would go for at least 77 on the waiver wire. Like, if something like that happened to a number one person and a backup, you know how it is in this league. Y'all are animals, man. You jump on guys like nothing. You'll spend money. So I just felt like I need to spend my money. I'm good with it. So I feel good about it.
I mean, we've always seen in the past in this league that, I mean, fab is it's okay. It's good to have it, I guess. But, I mean, we've seen since we started doing this where people blow it immediately on the first round, just like in this case, and still have an opportunity later on. Because, I mean, you don't have to – with our deep rosters, you kind of got to be ahead of the game anyway when it comes to picking up free agents and kind of like taking chances on certain people to take over the job. So you got to kind of be 2-3 weeks early anyway. And if you're at, you can more likely get those $0 before they actually become a hot waiver commodity anyway. So you kind of really don't necessarily need fab in order to, you know, be successful. It's nice to have it in the case that something does happen, like you say, and there is this person that's out there that's like, who got the most money I can get him. But you really, I mean, that's pretty rare in this league with 20-something roster spots for everybody to fill in. So most of the gems are already on people's teams. We got the third, you know, with the rookie draft, you already got, you know, third string players already on people's rosters and just waiting for an opportunity. So by the time it happens, it's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so already has him, so I'm not even really worried about it.
Right, there's this principle in the fantasy community, I'm sure you all have heard of it, called bid optimization. And it's basically just like the amount between the winning bid and the next highest bid. And I was looking at the bids here, and it seems that, yeah, there were a few that weren't quite optimized. And the Nicole Hartman was the quintessential example of the non-optimized bid where, you know, Brad, you had $77 on them, and then the next highest one was $16. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of room for you to adjust there. And since your initial one was 50, that probably would have won it too. But then you mentioned Chad, TJ Hockenson, $65, and then the next one was $29. But then after that, the other bids seemed to be actually pretty good with Simon, you bid 66, and then the next highest one was 22 on Damian Harris. But others, like Ronnie, you got a good one with Alexander Mattison as the backup to your Dalvin Cook and possibly even having some standalone value. You actually won him by $4.
That was probably the best fab bid I've seen in a long time because it was like the perfect amount. And then I feel like Alexander Mattison is a perfect dude to own if you have Dalvin Cook. So,
And that was the first number I went in. I just went in and put 31 on it.
Yeah.
I just said, okay, 31. If I get him, I got him.
All right. Well, you know, that's why I bid so much on Damian Harris because I'm thinking the Sony Michel owner, Brandon, I'm like, he's going to be worried about his knee. I was like, he's going to come out swinging. And he was like, he took a more conservative approach. So, I'm happy to get Damian. Look, I feel like if he gets a shot, he's like a running back over after Belichick's own heart. You know what I mean? So I'm like, let me have him.
Right. And just looking through the bids too, it seemed like there were a number of players who bid on multiple people. So perhaps they were kind of just managing that remaining fab budget too. That's kind of what I did too,
because I also wanted to get another person. Because in the rookie draft, if I didn't get Justice Hill, I was going to end up with Boykin. Mm-hmm. And he was one person that I was looking at, so I kind of like – that's why I went a little lower on Alexander Mattison just because I wanted to save a little bit to have for later.
And then was really interesting was Dare Ogunbowale. It turns out that was a $16 winning bid, and, you know, it seems like that the pathway is open for him to get some receiving stats out of the Tampa Bay backfield. And it turns out that was a contested bid where, you know, it was waiver priority that won it. What do you all think about his prospects?
I thought Shane would jump up on this one, you know what I mean? Jones handcuff. But
right.
Look, I mean, the Tampa Bay backfield is a mess in terms of it's not clear. And I feel like right now he got as much chance as anybody else to separate himself. So – if Peyton Barber doesn't do his thing and Ronald Jones keep being who he is, I think this could be a really great bid.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm actually intrigued by his prospects from, you know, everything that I've been reading and hearing, you know, out of what's been coming out of the camp. I've actually picked him up in like three or four of my other regular leagues and got him sitting down on the bench just in case something shakes out. Because, I mean, if he – in that Bruce Arians offense, you know, he could, you know, turn into like that David Johnson for that particular role, taking passes out of the backfield and then eventually, you know, taking over that job. Because, like as you said, Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones have done nothing to say that they deserve the number one spot and or deserve to keep it. So it's wide open over there for there to be some opportunity.
And then on the subject of bid optimization, I just kind of got to brag for a second. Upon the news of Rob Gronkowski maybe considering coming back, I ended up bidding $6 and beating Chad by $1 on that bid to get Gronk.
Oh, man. I mean, he could come back. They don't really have much over there right now.
Yeah, I saw you picked him up. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I figured it would be a $5 bid. Like, I think at this point we know each other, so we kind of know who's going to bid on whom and what may happen. So, yeah, I just, you know, decided to try to beat a $5 bid, basically. And it worked. Right.
Well done.
All right, so I guess going forward, that kind of leads us into, you know, where teams stand. And what I wanted to do on this podcast was actually unveil – the post-draft power rankings for everyone to hear. And so this was the medium that I wanted to use for it, so we'll have it on here and then I'll have it typed. I already have it typed out, so
so now we can argue about it right away is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, I'm actually giving you all an opportunity to argue about it on the podcast so we can, you know, get those perspectives. So here we go. Right. Power rankings. So at the top right now, I'm not going to throw shade on the champion, but I will say that the champion is not at the top of the power rankings. It is actually the runner up who is at the top of the power rankings. That's Ross's team. He's got a pretty good lineup, I'd say, from like between the quarterbacks, I'll say. So the receivers, the running backs, the flexes, his tight end, and the quarterbacks are the weakest point there. But I think that's something you can always address throughout the season, especially given, you know, the scoring between quarterbacks that are at the top and then quarterbacks that are kind of in the middle. So the second person on that list is our champion, and that's Brandon. He's got some work to do, but he's got a great quarterback. He's got, you know, those two great tight ends. He's got some work to do at wide receiver, and then running back is taking a little bit of a hit with LeSean McCoy signing in Kansas City. Third, I actually have Ronnie, and I think you did a really good job doing the balancing act with your starting lineup. But of course, as you mentioned, it's the depth in the start in the team that's going to really come back to bite you at some point if you get some injuries.
Definitely.
Fourth, I have AJ, and so I'm going against what Yahoo says. Yahoo says he had the best draft. I think he had the fourth best draft, but I will say that I anticipate him sliding down the power rankings just because I know he can't help himself but to make some very bad decisions along the way. Okay, so next I have Brandon. So he did very well kind of sitting back, taking inventory of what was going on, and then sniping some of those late picks. And I think that gives him some depth in his lineup, which is really needed. Next, I have Tori. He had some good keepers going in. He's got some good rookies going in. And I think that now Royce Freeman coming into this year is actually going to provide him some of that value and recruit some of that value that he paid for last year. So I think he's in a good spot going forward. Next, I have Chad. And he had a lot of money to be able to spend on some players because his high price keepers actually went down in value because of offseason things and some other things that really were out of his control. So I think he's looking good going forward. That $30 on OJ Howard, even though it was a lot, he could afford to do it. So I think he put together a squad that could be a very good contender. Next, I have Brad. So I think that, you know, despite what Yahoo says about your score, there is a lot of potential there, and it's kind of a boom or bust thing. It's really, if they do well, then you'll be in the top half of the league. I don't see any reason why you wouldn't be. Next, yep. I have Simon. Even though you have some work to do, there's still a lot of really good pieces there. And, you know, I'm excited to see what Odell will do in Cleveland, as I'm sure you are.
Yeah, and true.
Then Johnson, I still, despite the Hyde signing, I think he's a really good pickup. And, you know, he'll provide you some PPR value in this scoring setup. So next I have Ish. Despite spending some money on Andrew Luck, he was able to rebound and put together a team that actually looks a little bit, I guess it looks like it could compete a little bit. I'll say that much. Next, I have Shane. He's got great receivers, magnificent receivers, but that's pretty much it. He's got the rookie quarterback, of course, that may have some growing pains. He's got Lamar Jackson, who is at risk of injury at any time, and then the rest of that lineup really needs to be filled in. So there's going to be some trades or maybe some free agent moves or something that he's going to need to do to make that up. So I guess you all know what's going to happen next and who is next on that list. Next on that list is myself, of course. I've got the opposite problem of Shane. I've got the running backs that look amazing, and then it's pretty much barren everywhere else. So got some work to do to try to get back into contention there. So that's how we're looking at this point. With 1 through 12, of course, things will shuffle and things will present themselves a little bit differently in the next few weeks, and I'm excited to see how they will go. So now I'll take everyone's feedback.
I mean, I think Shane, like, do y'all think he can win without without running backs. I mean, I'm curious to see. Just in terms of you got three elite wide receivers, do you think they can make up the difference?
It's tough.
I mean, I don't think he did what he did on purpose.
Right.
I don't think this was a strategy. Like, oh, I got these three receivers, so I'm just gonna sit back and just only take what I can get at running back. No, I think this is just how it, you know, how the cookie crumbled for him.
I got you.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. You might be right about that, but his best running backs might be his quarterback. So that could kind of even things out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and I think that's your question. Is it the actual question for Shane, right? Like, if he had great receivers and he had great flex players and, you know, really that his one weakness was the running back position, I say, yeah, he could probably win. But the fact is he's got those great receivers and then every other position is a question mark.
Right.
Yeah. So you're at a point where, you know, he might be too good at receiver just in terms of pure value sunk cost into those receivers.
Right.
To make it up.
Yeah. Cause I'm thinking people consistently scoring into the 130s, 170s even. And them three guys might put up 100 for you, you know, so you got to find out that last, you know, 40 to 70, you got to fill that in somehow.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. And I think, Brad, you may have alluded to it in the offseason. Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. Like, there's no doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I didn't keep him. But
I mean, I don't know. They say he's been concentrating on, you know, becoming more of a running passer now instead of the other way around, where normally he has that first read and he just takes off and it's not there. They said he's kind of like trying to work on more so moving the pocket and keeping his eyes downfield and waiting for some other options to open up and actually still pass the ball instead of just taking off and taking those hits. So, I mean, that's all, you know, you got to wait to be seen, but
sure.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. It's hard to break that habit for one, and for two, I don't know if he's got the receivers that will let him do that. So that if he doesn't have a guy who can stand out and get open consistently, he's got to rely on some of those young wide receivers to develop and become like go-to guys that can get open quick and not have him hold the ball forever and have him run too much, because as you know, it's just hard, man. There's killers on defense, man. He will get hurt if he doesn't change a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I think he can find a good balance and still run quite a bit. But last year, it was just a lot, man. It only takes one hit, you know, Robert Griffin type thing, or, you know, there's countless in the past. And I hope it works out for him, man. I'm a fan. I he went to school here in Louisville. I went and saw him play in college. I root for him, man. I hope he does well. So, but we'll see.
If I were a coach, I'd be teaching my quarterbacks how to run to not get injured. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm thinking about Jimmy G. Like, he tried to put the little 1-2 on the dude, and it was like, man, just go out. You know, like, talk about your season versus juking out one linebacker. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, another thing is that he doesn't slide. Like, that's one thing that these guys haven't learned. Right. Like, Russell Wilson was a running quarterback. He used to run all the time, but he knew how to get down.
Exactly. And Kyler Murray, too, you watch his college game, man, that dude slide like he's sliding in the first base, man. That thing is flawless. I was like, that must be that baseball background there.
Yeah. All right.
There's something to say about those quarterbacks playing baseball.
Yeah, I know, right?
Exactly.
But no, I actually agree with you with your order of things. Skip for the first time with your pre-draft power rankings. I actually got some love coming out of the draft for a change. That's new.
maybe you just agree with me not agreeing with Yahoo.
Yeah,
I can't always agree. Can't always agree with Yahoo.
Change, you know?
Right.
Yeah, you can't always agree with Yahoo. And Ronnie, it's the narrative that you can't draft. I don't know who would ever spread that narrative. Maybe Chad.
I think
you did all right, man. Honestly, I think for me, just personally, when I look at the teams, to me, Ronnie's the favorite to me. So I just keep putting the jinx on you. I'm just going to keep doing that.
I'm not going to lie. I struggle in these drafts because my mind be going a million places. I go in with a strategy every year, and when something happens that messes it up in the beginning, I start scrambling, and I usually end up, in a bad spot from where I was. If I would have just stuck to what my plan was, I could end up pretty decent. But in years past, like you said, I started scrambling, and I ended up overspending for people that I didn't really want because I didn't spend a couple of dollars more to get that person I did want earlier in the draft. That stuff does happen, as it has in the past. But this year, I don't think it was too bad.
Yeah, man, I think you got a solid squad from the top down.
Like I'm decent. I think between the court, like I said, from quarterback down to the quarterback, but then after that, there's question marks all over that bench. I mean, I got handcuffs. Justice Hill. Hopefully, he takes off. Jordan Wilkins. He's just holding up a spot, wasting a roster spot on my bench.
I thought you were gonna drop him for the Fab, man. I thought you were gonna pay the Fab penalty for him.
I don't think I can yet. He's just a second year, right?
Oh yeah.